The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Hope you all had a great weekend. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. All right. And a couple changes here. I ran out of time, so I'm doing one more quick change. And there we go. All right. Everything's good now. All right. We have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. I'm still working frantically on the COVID information and stuff. Released a couple of articles just now, and I might want to check them out. But I'm going to be working on exemption qualification issues for religious exemption stuff, and also some laws. It's really slow going for me because, you know, I'm a good theologian and I know stuff, and I can quote verses. I know all the stuff. Not all. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing this for so long, for decades. Well, this stuff is different, and the reason I'm focusing on it, on COVID, is because I believe it's being used to oppress people and control them. And the reason that concerns me is because it ultimately will reflect on the freedom of Christians to be able to preach that gospel. So that's the perspective I'm coming from. And this is why I'm studying it, because I see similarities between the COVID oppression techniques and those in the cults, and what they do to control people and keep people in line and things like that. So there you go. All right. Hey, I have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. And if you're new to the show, this is called Matt Slick Live, and Matt Slick is my real name. We were talking about that. We had a barbecue yesterday, and people, you know, they came over. A lot of people know me because of the radio show here in the area. And one guy was saying, yeah, you know, Matt Slick, I didn't think it was your real name. And, okay, we got a little laugh out of that and stuff. But anyway, Matt Slick, and if you are not familiar with the website, carm.org, I do suggest you check it out. It's had 147 million visitors, and there's a lot of information on there. carm.org, please check it out. We'd love to hear from you, too. You can email us, and we have people answering emails all the time. So if you have questions and comments that are not covered in the website, you can contact us. All right, having said all that, let's get to Steve from Salt Lake City. Steve, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
In a recent Bible study that we had, there was a someone who had added to their answer with some information from someone named Brett Meter at Athey Creek Fellowship, and it seemed to raise some red flags among some of the people there. It was somebody I'd never heard of, and I wondered if there was anything you could tell me about, you know, that group.
You know, I don't know. It's the first I've heard of him, and so I'm looking. Okay. I did a quick search, found the website, and what I'm doing right now literally is looking at the statement of faith. Three persons, Trinitarian, that's good. That's good. Salvation through Jesus alone, marriage institution, marks of maturing faith, hope, love, Bible's inspired, Jesus is coming back. From that perspective, it looks okay so far, but it doesn't mean that they are. I mean, if you have particular issues,
right,
then what you do is you can say, hey, what about this group? And look at this place. This is what he said, or is it good or is it not good or whatever. And sometimes
right.
People will contact us, and we'll take a look. We go, yeah, it's a really good group, you know. And sometimes we say, nope, it's not. So it just depends.
Well, and I had started out looking at the statement of faith, and, you know, as you seemed to find, it was fairly straight ahead. It's not a lengthy one, but mm-hmm. It covers the basics and seemed okay. And I wasn't quite sure why that was a red flag in there. So I guess I will look at that further and see if I can find out what their particular objection was.
Yeah. In fact, let me see if I can let me see if I can find out their staff.
Okay.
Let's see if they have any women pastors and elders. Hannah's a wedding operations coordinator and administration. So, Athey Women, Women's Ministry Director, that's potentially problematic.
That's legit.
Yeah, Women's Ministry Assistant, what does that mean? Women's Counseling, there's a woman there, that's good, Administrative Assistant. And let me do the word pastor, just do a search and see if they it doesn't occur that many times. Yeah, okay. So I'm doing this live. And
right,
seeing if pastor is associated with any of the women, and it's not, so far, you know? So, you know.
Okay. So far, not scary, but, you know, I will look further into the people that raised the question and see, you know, what do they know in there? Because I was not present at the time. And see what they can tell me.
Yeah. Always ask for documentation, because a lot of times people will say, he'll hear something and they think it's bad, but it's not. And so we just don't know. You got to check them out. All right, we're glad to do that.
Or something is stated in such a general way that it's masking like an attitude about homosexual acceptance or something like that. But
could be.
But I don't see much of that going on here. So.
Let's see. Do a search for homosexual there, and homosexual question. And I don't have time to just go over it all now, but it's worth looking at. And misinterpretation of the Bible teaches about homosexuality. Let's see. What does he say? Okay, I can't find. It doesn't say anything in there particularly, but because it's an hour long video. So if you want to hold while I listen to it, you know.
Sure. <yeah. laughs>
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, check it out. Check it out.
Right. I guess no news is good news up to this point, but I'll continue to look for that.
That's
all right. Thank you very much.
That's what we would have to do, too. All right. Well, God bless, buddy.
Good.
All right. God bless.
All right. Later. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Let's get to, let's see, Rod from Durham, North Carolina. Rod, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
You had mentioned earlier at the beginning of the show about the COVID pandemic putting a strain on the church and people of the church, spreading the gospel, causing separation. Do you feel that the pandemic is man-made, or is it really God?
It could be a little bit of both. If you are familiar with the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, his brothers sold him into slavery, and he went to Egypt and ended up saving a lot of people. And in Genesis 50:20, he says, "As for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about his present result." So I believe that Fauci and others funded the communist groups to do gain-of-function work on viruses as possible weapons. That's my opinion. And, we can't trust a Chinese communist atheistic government. They lie. They send spies into our country to steal information. They steal stuff all the time. Yet to work with them is foolishness. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked, and the government, United States, is being unequally yoked with this pagan, ungodly group who will, when they have the opportunity, destroy us. And they're buying up businesses here in America and everything. So they're the ones who developed this. I believe it came out of Wuhan. I've been doing a lot of research, and I'm convinced that's where it came from. And so God certainly allowed this to happen, and God can certainly use it to wake the Christian church up. And literally, I was working on an article, and I had to stop for the radio show. And the article is titled Christianity, the Church, COVID, and Oppression. And I'm going through this and talking about how the Christian church is weak. And quoting scripture, what Paul says, what the Lord Jesus says, and things like this. And maybe I'll release it today, I don't know. But the whole idea here is that we have to understand that we are in a spiritual battle. And we Christians just cannot be idle as we, we just can't be idle, period.
Exactly, and, right. And, I concur.
Yeah, it's bad.
And and we I mean, it with this, with all of this going on, it pretty much what it should do is bring us closer, if that's the case. I mean, you know, bring us closer to God and really lean on, don't lean into our own understanding, and so forth. You know, it's been alarming in my spirit about this whole ordeal. I want to just try to get some concrete answers on it, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm trying to develop as many reliable sources as possible, and I've been working hard to do that. And
right,
because I'm a theologian and not a, you know, epidemiologist or a doctor, my research is a lot slower because I have to, you know, triple check things, and that's what I've been doing. And so it's slow and coming, but you know, the issue is that you know, I believe the enemy will never give up its attack on the truth of God's revelation, and this is what I've written. Since he cannot destroy the church, he can weaken it from inside, just as our nation has been weakened from the inside as well. We must stand on the truth of God's word and not be afraid of the consequences. We must not be afraid of death as we stand for righteousness. Because sometimes Christians are more afraid of losing their job than they are of dying and going to be with Christ. And I can certainly understand that. Because you know, it's a terrifying thing in both areas. But we as Christians need to be willing to die for our faith as we stand for righteousness. And Christians are not taught that. What they're taught in churches is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus dressed in a woman's nightgown coming to help you out. And instead of picking up the cross and following after him. And this is it's a problem I've been talking about for years over the radio, and I'll continue to talk about
it. Yep. How to gain the world. I mean, and why gain the world and lose your soul, you know?
Right, it's that mentality. That's
most of the church teaching, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I've been like kind of side-eyed with that for the longest too, because a lot of churches they're not really teaching everything about salvation. And like you said, that when we die, what do we have to show for it if we're actually out here trying to get that six-figure job or trying to get that brand new Mercedes or Bentley or that nice house on the hill?
Yep.
All that stuff is meaningless.
Ultimately,
you know?
Yeah. We need to take care of our families, and it's okay to have those things, but we've got to be careful. And we've
very
got to be careful. And so I believe the enemy is using this, and I also believe that because I believe the leftists are just they're evil. I say it repeatedly. They are out loud to my wife, my friends. They're evil. They lie. They're full of hypocrisy. They want big government. They're against the things of God. They use the Lord's name in vain. That which is good is evil. That which is evil is good. They promote homosexuality, the killing of the unborn. You know, the Democratic Party is the party of slavery and KKK and segregation. You can look through its history. And they lie about their past, put those things on other people. It's an evil. The left, far left is
your point,
evil.
Yes.
Yeah, it's evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there's a break.
It is.
All right. Hey, God bless.
Thank
man.
You.
All right.
Yep.
Oops, sorry about that. Hey, we're out of time for this segment. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Orlando from High Point, North Carolina. Orlando, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there, buddy. What do you got?
All right, I got a question about time. You know, different time, God's time and mankind is different.
Okay. Yeah.
So the one of the statements I want to say, it's the word says that a day is like 1,000 years. So if a day for God is 1,000 years of man, we got to kind of figure it out, the time difference between the spirits of time and mankind.
Do you have anything to explain about that? It's way too vague what you're saying, and you're kind of saying things that really just aren't clear. So when it says, you know, a day as a thousand years and a thousand years as a day, it doesn't say that that's a corresponding equality. That's not what's going on. It just means that a short period of time for us is a long period of time for God, and vice versa. That's all it's doing.
Okay, what about Hosea 6:2? What does it say? It says that on the second day he will revive us. On the third day we will live with them. Does that mean 2,000 years later?
No. Words mean what they mean in context. Don't take the word day and say a day is a thousand years. Okay, we lost him. And then wherever it says day, you substitute a thousand years. That's not what to do. Okay, he's just speaking metaphorically. God does not relate to time the same way we do. That's all that's going on. All right, let's get to Ryan from Pennsylvania. Ryan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. A couple of weeks ago, I called your show, and I accused you of being a liar, and that was an abuse of your gracious invitation for me to call every time, or call any time. And it was inappropriate, and I apologize, and I ask your forgiveness.
Okay, you're given, no problem.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much.
Okay. All right, let's get to Anthony from Topeka, Kansas. Anthony, welcome. You're on the air.
Welcome. How you doing, Matt?
Let me check. Yeah, I'm doing okay.
You still there?
Yeah, I had to check. I had to check myself over and make sure I was okay. Yeah, okay. What's up?
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a question. And the reason I ask it, let me set this up, okay?
Okay.
I ran into this video on YouTube of this guy named Mike Rakowski. Mike, that's R-U-T-K-O-W-S-K-I.
Okay, I don't want you to... Okay, yeah?
Yeah, but anyway... He says a number of things that I find kind of disturbing.
All right.
He says that Christians, first of all, he says Jesus never sinned or was sick. Therefore, if you're really saved, you will never sin or be sick.
That's so stupid.
Salvation can be lost. First of all, he says salvation can be lost.
Yeah, he's
and
wrong.
This is something else. Mm-hmm. The scripture is inerrant, but the Bible is not. He said the Spirit of God showed him that the Bible is not inerrant.
Yeah.
You can go directly to Jesus, you know. And I tried to point out to him, like, in 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And if we confess our sins, of course, the context of fellowship. Now, if Christians never sin, why do they have to always confess their sins? And he just came back saying that I'm lost and I'm a child of the devil.
Okay. Yeah, this guy does not have all his paws in the litter box. Okay, he doesn't know what he's doing. Seriously.
So you've heard of him?
No, I've heard of this kind of stuff, this kind of idiocy before. It's sinless perfectionism, that, you know, you don't sin anymore once you become a Christian. If you do, you're not really a Christian. And of course they're going to teach you can lose your salvation because your salvation depends on your goodness. And so he's the one who's a false teacher. It's just that simple.
Well, yeah, that's why I found him disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's whacked. I've debated people like this before, encountered it before. They just don't know what they're doing. And they don't know how to think critically. They don't know the theology. And they know enough to be dangerous. And people who know even less can be duped by them. Yeah, it's those perfections.
Right, that's why. Yeah. He says things like, you don't need vaccinations, you don't need medicine.
Oh, really? Well, all I know is, you know, I've been vaccinated, not for the COVID thing, but against measles and chickenpox and stuff, no problem. I almost died from pneumonia once, and they gave me some medicines to cure it. In fact, I actually believe that if they had not given that to me, I would have died. I had pneumonia, and it was bad. And so, you know, I would have died from my gallbladder, which died and was dying within me, and they had to do emergency surgery. 80% mortality if it ruptures inside of you, and it ruptured while they were removing it. So I woke up in ICU. So, you know, hey, medicines and hospitals, they're great. So this guy saying that we don't need medicines and stuff, it's stupid.
I've had prostate surgery myself, so but they found cancer, so I had to go.
Well, they took care of it, right?
Took care of it. And
that's right.
One more thing before I think you said, you don't need any band maidens. You can go directly to Jesus on your own.
You can. That's true. You can go directly to Christ. You don't have to pray to Mary or any saints or go to a priest. You just go straight to Jesus. Yeah, that part's true.
So what about scripture isn't evidence of the Bible? It sounds like he's making a false dichotomy.
Yeah, I don't know what he means by those things. You have to ask questions at that point. Because a lot of times people will say things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, as I heard in the original autographs, the Bible commands, of course, We have a translation, and of course, there's going to be issues with the translation. But if we have the original, we don't have them, which is probably good. We find no errors.
Well, actually, the facts are that the inspiration of the documents refers to the autographs or the originals, and so we have very, 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 very well preserved copies of those inspired documents, but the copies do have textual variants, not like millions of them, but there are variants, and a word might be spelled wrong, or the word the in Greek is a single letter O, and so the little O can flake off on a parchment or a vellum, and then when it's copied, that O is missing, or it's called the Omicron, with a rough breathing mark, but it could be missing. Well, does that mean that that the Bible's no longer trustworthy? Of course not. So this is why ferreting out those issues, needs to be discussed to see if what he's saying is true. I mean, to what degree?
So,
okay.
But the point is, Christians do sin, but they don't live in sin.
Right. Right.
Am I putting that correctly?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And
basically just ignore this guy.
Oh yeah, ignore him. Ignore him. Or get notes together and send him a request to us to do an analysis on him, and we can do that. Okay? All right,
okay,
buddy.
Sure.
All right, man, we're out of time.
Okay.
All right, God bless. Hey folks, two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, welcome back to the show, everyone. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And don't forget to check out the website, carm.org. And also, I do some videos. Been once a week to once every other week. I've been so busy lately. On Patreon, going through a series and deeply analyzing the doctrine of the Trinity. You can check all that out. Patreon, just look for Matt Slick there. And that's another way to help us out here as well. Anyway, may the Lord bless you. Let's see. That would be Paul from Texas. We lost Paul. Original sin and Jesus being only a man. That would have been a really interesting discussion. I hope he's listening. Hope he wants to call back. And if he does, we'll get him back right on the air next. All right, let's get to Carolyn from Thomas, North Carolina. Carolyn, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. So what do you got?
I can barely hear you.
Well, I can hear you pretty well.
You're louder now. Thank you.
Okay, well, good. Praise God. Okay.
I called three nights ago, and you was talking to the atheist, and it took up so much time, you didn't get to take my call.
Now, that happens. I like to talk to unbelievers more than believers, so I can witness to them, and so Christians can hopefully learn a little bit more on how to witness to unbelievers. So that's why I do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My question is, what was the forbidden fruit in the book of Genesis?
No one knows. It just says fruit. That's all. That's right. That's it.
No one knows?
That's, well, God does. Yeah. But we don't know if it was an apple or orange or what. Okay.
Well, it's not a regular fruit that we eat.
Well,
it's a different type of fruit.
It is? How, what makes you say it's a different type of fruit?
Because, you got to use your common sense whenever you read the scripture, and you got to search it out and ask God for wisdom
yeah.
to let him reveal it to you.
Reveal it to you. So did he reveal this to you?
He did.
Okay.
He reveals a lot of things to me.
Okay, and what did he reveal?
I don't know if I should say or not on the air.
Well, it's up to you. But if God's talking to you and revealing things, you know, it's worth checking out. But if you don't want to say, that's okay. So, but
I'll just wait and see if you have any more callers on the same question after this call.
Well, the fruit is not specified in the scriptures. All right, it's not specified.
No, it's not.
That's right.
And no, it's not.
The fruit word, though, is the same one used in lots of the context there in the Hebrew. Okay? So, mm-hmm. I'm just waiting. Hopefully, it'll tell me what you know. So, the word fruit is the same fruit there. It appears in Genesis 1:11, the fruit of the trees, and the earth brought forth bearing different fruit with seeds. And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but the fruit of the which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, shall not eat." It's the same word, fruit, there in all those cases.
See, the serpent deceived Eve by the fruit.
No, he didn't deceive her by the fruit. He deceived her by his words. He doubted the word of God.
Yeah, but he used the fruit as an example.
Yes, he
did. To deceive her by.
Yeah, and caused her to look at what she felt was right and true and morally correct instead of what God had already said.
Yes.
Because the Satan, what he did was he cast doubt in Genesis 3:1. He said, has God really said, you shall not eat from the tree? And so the first thing the enemy of the gospel does is doubt the word of God. You know, the Bible is the only correct,
right.
It's first going to be translated, whatever. And so then you can believe anything. Okay, so.
And so then the doubt, that's how doubt came about. And doubting comes from Satan.
At least in this instance, it does here. Okay. But not all, I wouldn't say all doubt comes from Satan. But there. So you have anything else you want to say?
No. Do you?
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. All right?
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. Goodbye. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Mark from Florida. Hey, Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. My question has to do with marriage. Is marriage a covenant established by God?
Yes.
And if so, if you're married in maybe in one of the apostate churches that you discuss on your show, or you know, a cult, is that a legitimate and valid marriage?
Yes, a marriage has different aspects to it. Mm-hmm. So there's a vertical aspect in the Christian context where a couple, a man and a woman, they covenant with God. That's a vertical.
Mm-hmm.
They covenant horizontally with the community. And when I do marriages, you know, there are certain words that they repeat, that they bind themselves to. And one of the things is to keep you to yourself and to each other. That's excluding others outside the marriage covenant. Then there's the covenant between the man and the woman where they promise to love and cherish each other, etc. So it doesn't have to be done in a church. Because what if you were to hypothetically do mission work on your own at some tribe in the middle of nowhere, and you are there for years, you learn their languages, a woman comes in, and you two fall in love, you know, and you want to get married, you get married right there, not in a church, in their ceremony, but you know you're doing it before God. It's a legitimate marriage. So the state doesn't give us does not authenticate our marriage. God is the one who authenticates our marriage.
Okay. So if for example, I'm in a kingdom hall, and Jehovah's Witness kingdom hall, and I say my vows, mm-hmm. God hears those and holds me to those.
Yeah, you know,
even
married.
If I don't,
mm-hmm.
even though I don't, if I'm Jehovah's Witness, I don't actually believe in the correct God, for example.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay.
So, because you've made a covenant to each other, and
right.
it's a legitimate marriage. Now, here's a situation, what if a male and female boating accident, and they're out in the ocean for days and days, and they end up on an island together, and there's nobody around. I mean, this is a weird situation, right? And they're mm-hmm. both Christians, let's just say, and they realize they fall in love with each other, whatever, and they want to get married. Can they get married right there by themselves? Well, yeah, I don't see why not. They could have a ceremony where they verbally, before God, commit to each other, go through this process. I would say it's a legitimate marriage. The state does not authenticate our marriage. The state doesn't have that right to say this is what a marriage really is. It's God who states it. And the issue of a covenant between each other is reflective of the intertrinitarian communion, where God covenanted within the Trinity to redeem mankind. And this is a binding of himself by his own word. And so this is why a marriage is done by speech normally. Of course, you know, people who can't speak, you know, they do the hand signal, whatever. But the idea is you're committing your word to each other, and this is what binds you. And it's done before God for the Christians. And normally in a marriage ceremony, it's in any society, it's done specifically where that male and that female are united, and they have certain rights within that marriage that excludes the community. So I have children with my wife, not a bunch of other women, just one wife. One, you know, things like that, to the exclusion of others. So when this is present, it's marriage. They verbally.
This is probably a dumb question, but this is obviously preordained by God, then, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so since he's already preordained it, it is a joining together by God. So it's unavoidable.
Well. There's a yes and a no there. God does not want believers to marry unbelievers. So let's say a Christian man marries an unbelieving wife. That's not what God has desired. Now, we could say, has he ordained it? Yes. Ordination not by cause, but ordination by permission. And some people, they think that when we say God ordains, that it means he makes it happen. Not always. There's times where he directly ordains something by his causative hand, but other times where he allows it to occur by his permission. So he will allow unbeliever and a believer to marry, and they'll suffer the consequences.
So there's never really a mistake made when you get married, then, is there?
Yes, there are. Yeah. We can make mistakes. You can marry someone you should not marry. Like a Christian minister, pastor, should not marry an atheist woman, for example. He should not do that. To do that is a mistake, and it's sinful, and he's disqualified from being a pastor. This kind of a thing.
Got it.
But God
permissively. Thank you very much, as always.
All right, man. God bless. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276. I'm waiting for you. Give me a call. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back. Let's see, let's get to Melinda from Utah. Melinda, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm fine, by God's grace. So what do you got?
Well, I have a question. You guys were talking about eating of the forbidden fruit and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and talking about how that caused the fall of Adam, mm-hmm. and forth the fall of mankind.
Yeah.
My quick question is, because I was going back to that story and I was reading through, where does it say that sickness was a part of that?
The Romans 5:12 says that sin entered the world through Adam. It doesn't say just people, but the world.
Okay.
So he's the representative of basically everything. This is why we have hurricanes, plagues, floods, things like this. And so that's the source area for that. And sin entered the world through one man, Adam, because he's the federal head. He represented mankind as well as the created order. Okay.
Okay, so how does sickness fall into this?
That's part of the effect of the fall, sickness. The effect of sin in the world. Because
okay.
when God made things in the garden, there was no sickness. There was no evil. There was nothing bad. No earthquakes and famines and stuff. No plagues. And so when sin entered the world, then we had death, and all the other things are recorded in the scriptures after that. And then, so we theologically say sin entered the world through Adam. Romans 5:1. And so sin spread to all men, and so all men died. And so that's what's going on there. Okay.
Oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, and question number two, when are you going to bring back the cool T-shirts?
Well, my wife wants me to wear nice shirts on the air, and so I do like to wear, T-shirts. Maybe I'll have to have a T-shirt Tuesday or something like that where I just wear a cool T-shirt, like make 1984 fiction again, you know. You like those, huh?
Oh, gosh, wouldn't that be lovely? Okay. I totally appreciate your answer on that. That actually does help me out. And God bless you, and thank you for what you do.
Well, praise God. Praise God. Appreciate that. All right. Okay, we'll talk to you later. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, Melinda. All right, let's get to Orlando again. Orlando, welcome. You're back on the air.
Hello, man.
Yes. Yep. How you doing, buddy?
This is Orlando again. We got caught off. I was trying to get my point across on time. And you right away say, no. But the Bible is specifically to say 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And you say it specifically right away. You just say no. But then
No. No. What you were doing with it, saying one day, therefore, is 1,000 years. No, that's not it. It says it's as is. A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. It's just metaphor. It's poetry. Okay?
Okay, what about if we look at it in a Jewish calendar? 360 days, 7 days a week, right? That makes 2,520 days. That's a perfect number.
Okay, look, I'm telling you.
Have you ever heard of that?
So, yes, I have. Have you heard, you've heard this idea, right? You're going to turn the sound down. I'm talking, and it comes back to the radio. So you're going to turn that down behind you? All right.
No, the radio's off.
It is?
Okay, no, that's the radio's
feedback
off.
Thing going.
Off.
All right, so if
no,
one
off.
Day, if you say one day is 1,000 years, then every 1,000 years you must also say is also just one day. Now, so now what do you do?
Okay, we dealt with that. Go back to the calendar. 360 days.
Okay, Orlando, we're just going to move on. Orlando, we're just going to move on, okay? All right, let's get to Demetrius from Richmond, Virginia. Demetrius, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how's it going, brother?
It's going.
Hey,
so
man,
what do
you got your hands full, man. Like, I really appreciate what you do. I do, and
hey,
I learned a lot from your ministry.
Praise God.
I had a question about God parenting. What is the origin of God parenting? Like, choosing God parent for children.
I have no idea. That's a good question. Where did it originate? I don't know. Good question. I have no idea.
All right, so
I've never been asked that before.
Okay, cool. First, all right, I take that. but what I wanted to know, Matt, is so I have a friend of mine. I guess we were friends at one time during my my carnal Christian days, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he asked me to be his son's godfather. Now, you know, we did the whole dedication with the church, and I stood before the church, and I don't know if you considered it, if this would be considered as an oath, but I, in a sense, swore that I would assist in raising this child, you know, mm-hmm. in a Christian environment, you know.
Right.
So does that count as far as me taking an oath? And although
yes.
I really don't talk to this individual, so am I obligated? I need to be doing that, right? Even though.
Yep. If you said so.
Where it comes from.
If you said, yes, I will do this, I agree to be in this position, then
yeah.
you're obligated. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. So you are.
Right.
So what I would do is talk to them and just say, hey, how's it going? And see if you can offer assistance and anything I can do, or, you know, I'm praying for you. And if they say, hey, thank you, I really appreciate that, and that's about it, well, then you've done your part. And every now and then when you feel led, just call them up. Hey, you know, just checking on how things going. And that's it.
Right.
You don't have to move in
right.
and change diapers and stuff, okay? So
Right. Yeah, he's much older now. This was, I want to say, a few years ago, mm-hmm. 7 years ago. And mm-hmm. I kind of haven't talked to the guy in a while, but, you know, I felt in my spirit that I should be, you know, reaching back out, because I did make that oath. And also in Deuteronomy, you know, it talks about, 23 talks about, you know, if you make an oath, you swear by his name, then
that's
you
right.
need to do what you can to keep it.
That's right. You know, okay. my friends.
I wasn't sure if it was binding or not.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay.
Your word is binding because it's your word. And
yeah.
so, I have friends here, and we hold that very seriously, that we will carry out what we say we will do with our friends and each other. Like, we had a barbecue
right.
yesterday, right? And so a couple mm-hmm. committed to being here, and then they withdrew. And they withdrew because there was a death in the family. And they had to go take care of that.
Right.
Of course, that's fine.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They're not just saying, hey, I'll be there. Then they don't show up and there was no reason. That's breaking the word. But, you know, you're going to be there.
Right.
Okay, well, we understand, you know, until, you know, things happen. But the idea, the intention is, you give your word, you have the intention of following through. And that's the idea
right.
behind it. And, of course, circumstances can change things. And if that child were to die, well, then, you know, you're not obligated anymore. You know, it's stuff like that, so.
Right.
But we need
right.
to take it very seriously what we commit to.
I agree.
That's right.
Okay.
All the time.
Boom.
All right, buddy. All right, man.
All right.
God bless.
Thanks, Matt. Have a good
okay.
one.
Okay. All right. Let's try this. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Michael from Utah. Michael, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And, quick question about Genesis, when the Lord says, in the day you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die, and
mm-hmm.
they don't die right away. Is that
mm-hmm.
the reason that they die spiritually? Is that why Jesus says you must be born again? I always wondered if that was connected to,
well,
you know.
I actually wrote an article on this, specifically on Genesis 2:17. And for in the day, the phrase in the day is used by God in Genesis 2:17 and Satan in Genesis 3:5. And it does say that when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, their eyes were opened to good and evil. So that happened right away, and it happened that very day. And so when we go to Genesis 2:17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. And so some theologians say, well, no, they didn't die. Well, the Bible, God says they would. So they did. Now the question then becomes, what does the phrase in the day mean? Does it mean that day, 24 hours? Or does it mean in the day, that epoch of time, that long period of time, you'll begin to die? Because I think it's, remember correctly, it says, when you eat that, in the dying you will die. And I think that's what it says. And it could be a very long period, that very day. It could be both. And so this is one of the verses I've had to deal with in a lot of different contexts for discussion. But yeah, I'm looking at my notes.
Does that go along with Jesus saying you must be born again? Was it a spiritual death or a?
Well, that's
just saying that's the beginning of the end kind of thing. Is that what you're saying the verse might mean?
Well, when they sin brings death. Romans 6:23. Now, there are two kinds of death, spiritual and physical. Spiritual death is the one we have to fear. Physical death, we're not supposed to fear. And we have to understand that sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59:2. So the day that you eat of it, you will die. What's the death that God was talking about? Separation from Him. That's the ultimate thing. What we do as Christians and a lot of people, just generically, we look at physical death as the main thing, not the spiritual death. That's not the way God did. So I believe that it's a spiritual death, and that's what's going on. You are spiritually dead there. You've died. And physical death is simply the manifestation of spiritual death. So I've done a word study.
So that's why we need to be born again?
Well, ultimately, yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, ultimately we need to be born again. But Genesis 2:17 specifically is not about being born again. It's about dying from eating of that fruit and disobeying God and in sin. Did they die that day? Yes, they did. It was a spiritual death. And the physical death was simply a later manifestation of their spiritual death. Okay?
And their sins were covered when God sacrificed the animals for them.
Yes, that's correct.
As a foreshadowing of the cross.
Amen. They died, and they were covered by the blood of an animal pointing to Christ. That's right.
So He made atonement for their sin. So that was the model going forward. That's why Noah took the extra animals for the sacrifice.
Probably. Yep.
And that's why Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable and Abel's was.
Right, because Cain was offering something of the works of his own hand, where the other one was a blood sacrifice. Yep.
Okay.
All right.
And so, okay. Well, I was going to use that as, for witnessing, as like pointing back to the original sin is our need to be born again. Is that still a valid?
Well, yeah. What I would do is basically just talk about the law. In fact, we're out of time. Call back tomorrow. We'll talk about the law, the gospel, and the cost. Okay?
Thank you.
That's what we're talking about. All right. All right, Michael. God bless.
Bye.
Hey, folks, we are out of time, obviously. If you want to give me a call, well, you got to wait until tomorrow. And by God's grace, we'll back on the air then. We'll talk to you then. God bless everybody. Have a great evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.